Feel incredible!
It's not a cartoon! It's anime!
Yes! Welcome to another episode of Animation! The squad is back. Three quarters. Rob, myself, Brennan, no ho-ass, bitch-ass Ice. He's out here missing the greatest anime podcast.
You just couldn't help yourself.
In the entire world.
He didn't swear, though, so I may be able to not check the explicit content.
Oh, whoa.
Because you can't swear out throughout the episode.
Oh, really?
Animation
is for the children. You know?
Are you think I'm not going to cuss throughout this episode?
Probably.
I mean,
oh, no, we're going to destroy that.
No, that's going
to
be done
in the
next
first
5 minutes.
In the first 5 seconds, it's best not to.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
That's actually, when you're doing stuff on YouTube, they have criteria for, like, when you got to go to the next level. It's like, in the first 5 minutes, if you drop these words, then you go to this level. As in, like,
wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'll try to keep that on the... All
right, I literally almost did the same thing. I was just like,
"Fuck it." You just said it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, "I'm gonna say, man. You know, this we've been doing this for a while, man. Whatever it is.
Fuck all that shit."
Yeah. Thank you, Rob.
There we go.
You know what we're doing here, the Animation Podcast, man. We do our due. We talk our shit. We have do one off debates. We do poll. We do everything on here now, baby. You know, join that Patreon, man. Patreon.com/animation. Look.
Yes.
We are up to 90. Patrons. That's our highest right now, I believe, right?
90. I think that's the highest we've ever gotten,
90 is the highest we've gotten. That means we're only 10 away from giving Rob this fresh-ass cut. I'm telling you.
Got the wife's approval over the weekend.
Got the wife's approval.
She gave the thumbs up.
It's good to go. So I'm telling y'all keep getting these patrons coming in. We only need 10 more, man, to jump on. Even if you're going to jump on it and jump off.
10 of you guys, one friend. That's all we need.
Yeah, just tell one friend. Tell them to just pay that $5. And if you want to hop off after that, just once we see 100, it's a wrap. We locking that in. We're gonna get with Rob, see when he wants to do it. We're gonna cut the hair, we're gonna put it on, we're gonna record the whole thing. You get a chance to see it. We're probably gonna go out in public somewhere. That'd be pretty cool to go out in public to see like the type of responses Rob gets.
I don't think it's gonna be anything.
It might not be anything. But I wanna see the responses Rob would get at work though. I wanna see, because Brandon's gonna know. Cam's gonna know. But when he pulls up and if Cam sees him or Tahir sees him or whoever.
Oh, man, that's gonna be hilarious. People are gonna be like, what is that? Like here, people I think I will get reactions. People will be like, what is going on?
Looking hella fresh out here. So join that Patreon, man. Patreon.com/animation. We want to see y'all on there. You know, we got some more stuff coming for you guys very, 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 very soon. And, you know, today we're going to be, last week, what did we discuss last week? Oh, yeah,
what anime characters could beat Goku.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, so that was a fun one. Make sure y'all go rewatch that episode, matter of fact. Today we will be discussing Animation Classroom. That is the anime of choice.
Wait, what is it?
Animation Classroom?
Animation Classroom?
Well, today we'll be ready to Drake, too.
You got that from was it Cam? Thanks, Cam.
Assassination Classroom. How long is that?
22 episodes.
22 episodes. We're going to go through all 22 episodes. This week will be episodes 1-4. So follow us, man. We told y'all last week, so I hope y'all watched it with us.
Yeah, the patrons voted on this. This is the show they picked.
This is y'all picked. Y'all picked out of 4 particular shows, and we didn't think it was going to be this one. We thought it was going to be Spy Family, and this one actually took the cake. So episodes 1-4 we'll be getting into. But first...
Right.
We got a poll, man. What poll?
Yeah, so we asked the patrons which classic anime they'd want to see updated, kind of like, you know, Hunter got the animation update, you know, you got Dragon Ball Z, got Dragon Ball Z Kai. Which classic anime would you want to see updated? And the choices were Yu Yu Hakusho, Rurouni Kenshin, which I found out actually may be getting an update.
Really?
Yeah, pretty soon.
Okay.
Hajime no Ippo, the boxing anime, and the original Dragon Ball. And let me tell you, Yu Yu Hakusho ran away with that shit. It was 65% of the voters said they wanted to see Yu Yu Hakusho. Very popular anime. People love that stuff. And it's got a live action show coming out soon on Netflix, which...
I mean, they can... Like, if you fuck this up, Netflix, you try to fuck this up. This is even easier than... I guess it's easier than Death Note because this is a movie or it's gonna be a show.
I believe it's a series.
What are they? Oh, they did fuck up Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, they did. Let me. I'm gonna save everybody some time. They're gonna fuck this up too. I have no confidence that they are going to land this plane.
I agree.
None at
Damn,
all.
Damn, man.
I mean, they shared some cast photos and like, I don't personally, I don't think they look good, but I don't put it on the actors.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's for me personally, I'm starting to get to the point where I'm just like, I don't think anime needs to be live action updated. Let it be what it is. Let it be animated. I think it works because of that.
Well, I mean, it's like, but that's hard to say because we watch comic book movies. I mean, we watch comic books, we read comic books, we watch animated series TV, these cartoons, and they did a hell of a job making them into live actions.
Yeah, but even so, like, a lot of those comic books, like, certainly there's characters that are out there. The designs are kind of, like, you know, next level, especially when you get into, like, the space characters. But, like, a lot of the main roster, like, Marvel stuff that's been coming out, even Batman, like, it's a dude. Like,
yeah,
you know, they don't have any crazy hair colors. They don't like have like a vine, like a
vine whip, vine or whatever, whip thing. Yeah.
Like
PA with the power.
Even like the energy beams can be hit and miss a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I miss. Yeah,
it just feels like a lot of stuff that's been successful for comic book movies are much more grounded. And when you get into the more like out there stuff, that's kind of when things start to fall apart a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like Bebop.
Bebop, if the fact that they screwed up Bebop,
and they didn't have to, because to me casting was good on that.
I agree.
I think the casting was
the
good.
The cast was good,
and I think this. I think
the
I,
writing wasn't good. That's how I felt.
Not great.
The writing wasn't that great, and then how they shot it. They shot it so weird. And
they
then,
tried to make it still feel like a cartoon, and that's the mistake that they make. It's like the thing right. is like, what you wanted to do. For example, a great example of this is like the Last Airbender and Avatar. Right? Mm-hmm. Is that like the cartoon was silly and fun, but it. The live action was very serious.
Yeah.
And that killed the whole vibe of what anybody thought the show was. Like, you can right. still make this goofy and fun, but it doesn't have to be cartoony.
Right.
You know, and people will enjoy it. Whereas just like this, I mean, go ahead. I'm just saying, that's my thing. Is it's like, you have to find that middle ground between making it feel cartoony, because Cowboy Bebop was super cartoony.
Ooh, yeah.
And it was all over the place and weird. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can still shoot this as weird, but don't try to make it cartoony. Like, right. lean into that this is live action.
I agree.
And we'll be more comfortable with that than you trying to make it more towards what's impossible to be as a cartoon.
Yeah, they didn't have to go the route to do it with Ed. It's just like, why did you have to go
that
extra?
That was so
like,
stupid.
Weird, these weird close-up shots and... You know, like, just it was just weird shots of like Ed, and you're just like, what's happening? You could have just shot this kind of regular.
I think you find the essence of these characters, and then you just redefine them.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Ed is these things, and like these are the core of what Ed is. So let Ed be those things as a regular human being,
exactly.
Instead of like a fictional like character that can float around and like, you know, spaz out in the cartoon. You can't do that in with live action.
It doesn't transfer. It's like it's already been done. So do something different.
Exactly.
Because you already have that.
Show me a reimagination of that.
So do you guys know anything? Information about the Yu Yu Hakusho movie, is it going to be subtitled, so like Japanese speaking, and then we're gonna get
it might
subtitles?
Be because I think it's Japanese actors.
Yeah, I think it is
right,
Japanese
okay.
actors.
Yeah. I mean, well, maybe look, I feel like they have a better chance of doing it right if it's them doing
listen
it.
Listen to this. First of all, I fully agree with Rob.
You're gonna fuck it up.
They're gonna fuck it up. But I will say this. They do have the opportunity to do what we just said.
Yeah.
Is make the live action of this cartoon, but do it as a serious actual show. Because Yu Yu Hakusho is not a goofy cartoon show.
Not really. I mean, besides Kuwabara being a little silly here and there.
A little silly, but like a little comic
silly
Kuwabara. But for the most part, Yusuke
is business.
He's really about the business. Like, I'm beating up bullies. Now I'm beating up these ghost motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Anybody who wants the problems, I am here for that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, all right, that's an easy character to cast. And there's also isn't a lot of superpowers in that show. In the sense of like flashy ones. Like, we just need a little gun that he shoots once every two episodes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And Kuwabara has a sword that he barely knows how to use in the first season.
Yeah.
You know, and that's pretty much it. Some guys move pretty quick.
So that
lends itself to being a really good live action show. If you were to make one, this is the one. But I'm like,
I would have thought that about Cowboy Bebop. If you were to make one, that's the one to make.
I thought
because
Death Note would be the one.
They tried that too.
Death Note was a movie.
That's the thing.
And that's where they fucked
but
up. They
Death
should never make Death
probably,
Note was a movie.
It wasn't good, but it's probably the best live action adaptation I've seen.
Hmm.
What's better?
I don't know.
What's better?
I like Speed Racer a lot, but I think
Speed
a part
Racer
of it is it's very goofy.
I haven't seen Full Metal Alchemist, but I heard it wasn't as terrible as fucking Death Note.
I mean, people are saying,
I didn't hate Death Note.
Speaking of the poll itself, Chrissy for Life says that the Rurouni Kenshin one was pretty good, I think.
I love the Botosai.
I like Lakeith as L.
Yeah. No, I'm not against that casting.
Yeah, I think the casting somewhat was solid. But I did see some remastering shots of Dragon Ball. It looked great, actually. Somebody they put some remastering shots of Dragon Ball. Somebody was like, "Yo, I want to see this whole thing remastered."
Mm.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be more fun? Like, how do you guys feel about it? This is a random thought. Casting an actor who doesn't know and hasn't seen the anime, describe the character to them, but don't let them watch the anime.
That is a very risky move.
I think that I wouldn't do that.
You don't think so?
Nah.
It'd be interesting to see what they.
And that's what I'm saying. I'd love to see their interpretation. Then they figure out their interpretation, like either if you don't like it, then you can show it to them. You know what I'm saying? But if you love it, you're like, this is pretty dope.
If you go, hey, before you shoot anything, you're saying.
Yeah, this is just in the casting process.
Got it.
Yeah, like, have you heard of this show? No. Okay, cool. So here's the character. Here's the script. You know,
there's a few actors who have taken on roles that are like of big name characters who've never jumped into the IP, and I'm forgetting who.
Well, even on recently, touching on Heard the Nerds, the guy that played the Grand Inquisitor on Obi-Wan,
yeah.
He said he didn't go back and like watch any of that because he didn't want to like.
Yeah.
I believe he didn't want that to like impact his performance, so he's just like, I'm gonna bring my own thing to it, and he was fine, but like he also it was a smaller part, it wasn't like a lead.
Yeah.
Well, my point being is like you could just see like I think that would help you as a creative. If let's say you're the producer or the director of the show, it's like when you're casting people, I would probably do some form of deception in the casting and say like, "Yo, just write the character. Don't say the name of the show. Don't even say it was based on an anime. Just literally like
a lot of Marvel movies do that.
Yeah, just like this is just randomly a script about these random characters that are described like this. If you probably won't know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, how do you define this character? What is this character like? And then you see it like that's L. Without us even showing them the L, that's L right there.
They can embody it without having to know how they have to act.
Yeah, so they can add to add to what they already created from the show and watching.
I thought you meant like shoot it.
I'm talking about. I'm just talking about
that would modify
that. Yeah.
And then be like, all right, that was horrible, so we're gonna go with this.
Yeah.
So you said Yu Yu Hakusho knocked it out in that poll.
Oh yeah,
they killed it.
Rurouni Kenshin was second with 16%. Hajime no Ippo, which is one that that's another one that I'm like, I gotta get on my list.
Yeah.
People love that Hajime no Ippo, the boxing anime.
Bro, Dragon Ball though, like
Dragon Ball got almost nothing.
I saw on a Shonen Jump today, I saw like a remastering clip of Dragon Ball. And that's what you're saying. I'm sorry, I was doing this. Did you post that?
Oh.
Keenan,
I thought you were talking about a live action.
I thought you were talking about live action version.
Okay, then that's a fair.
So you meant a remastered animated?
I mean, remastered
animated.
That
the clip
remastered
you sent
Dragon
us?
Ball? No. I would have said it probably because they only do fan made. Like, yeah. There's some fan made.
Wasn't that fan made?
The one that I saw was a remaster of the actual animation.
Yeah, what?
I've never seen a remaster. I never seen
because part of it looked new and part of it looked old, so it was definitely looked like they.
Right,
they,
and like, I don't know if somebody actually remastered it themselves. Like, not I don't even know it was Toei in them, but like. Dragon Ball, I've never even seen done live action before.
No, I don't think so.
Well, I guess Dragon Ball Evolution.
The movie, yeah. Technically.
No.
I feel like you shouldn't.
I mean, it happened.
I am sure it did.
It happened.
I'm sure. You don't. Honestly, we're talking about this. It's so hard. They make bad movies based off of easier content to transfer to. Because, I mean, look at the G.I. Joe movies. Those are terrible. And it's like, that's just military. Like, how do you make that bad? I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes studios are just like, look, we have this. I bought the property to it, and I want to make it like this because I'm a billionaire. But that's not how it goes. I don't care. This is what I want. I paid for it. That's a bad thing about when you're making some of these movies is when you got these billionaire playboys in there.
Or the companies that just own the IP and don't understand what it is and they're just cranking out content because, people will watch it even if they hate watching.
Yeah, and it's like you might get first week sales or first weekend sales. I mean, you might not even get that now. Nowadays, people are having all these screenings and you're getting bombed by Rotten Tomatoes and all these other places.
People won't show up.
And they'll be like, you open up and
it's
do 5
It's becoming
million.
More of a thing now for sure. I think Netflix is actually feeling that is one of the things.
Well, I mean, if they knock Yu Yu Hakusho out the park, I think people will be like, okay, whoa. Wait a second. We got one right. Let's take it slow, though. Let's do another one that's easier to adapt.
That's the thing, is though, they're not. Most companies are not like, let's take it slow. They're like, oh, this worked. Pour more money into it.
I mean, they got that One Piece coming, so they can.
That's the thing is they got, and it's funny because they're doing so poorly monetarily, and they're like, let's do all these live action anime, which historically just don't do well. It's not like
and
well,
costs a lot of money.
Yeah, you're pouring your money into something that's.
That we're gonna make fun of and not watch it. We're not even gonna finish it. I wonder what the finish rate is on those. It's like, yo, like. Say 10,000 people watch it, it's like 7 finish it.
Yeah, I want to see what Cowboy Bebop did, and it's like it's not even the actor's
like
fault, but it was just
no. The actors really they did their best with what they were given. It was rough.
Yeah, it was tough. I thought, like I said, I liked the cast for it. It's just it didn't work out, and like even to hear them talk about it during the production, I think they said like because they filmed that in New Zealand and they were filming at the same time Amazon was doing their big Lord of the Rings show. So like Amazon backed up the Brinks truck and then brought in like all of the A-Team in New Zealand onto their show. So, I mean, I don't, you know, obviously I'm sure the people that worked on Cowboy Bebop worked very hard, but I don't know.
Yep.
That's the Amazon showing his balls right there. All right, man. So let's thank you, Rob, for that.
Wait,
let's...
the Lord of the Rings one's not good?
No, I'm not saying it's not good. Okay. I was pretty down on it. I saw the most recent trailer and I was like, okay, this might be pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not a Lord of the Rings guy, so I can't give you anything with that. Sorry. So, Brennan, what do you got for us with this show, man? take 7.
Wow.
Assassination Classroom. I mean, sorry, I didn't realize I get on Tony about, you know, speaking this whole weekend about losing his voice when he does comedy for, like, you know, essentially 4 hours. And I headlined this weekend. And by show 3, I was just like, oh, this is real. You can lose your fucking voice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So my voice has been kind of like cutting in and out. So my apologies. But yeah, Factual from Brennan, Assassination Classroom, what do you have for us, man?
All right. So originally the manga, it came from manga, like most anime.
Mm-hmm.
It came out from 2012 to 2016, and it has 21 chapters that sold over 25 million copies, which is pretty good. It was received really well. Yeah,
that's some numbers.
Yeah, it's got some numbers. It was written by a guy named Yusei Matsui. He is known for a lot of stuff that I have never heard of before.
Perfect.
Efken, something called The Elusive Samurai. That's his newest thing he's working on right now. It's on Shonen Jump.
Okay. Heard of them.
Yeah. That's about as far as I could take that. Like, I really don't know any of those things. So that, like I said, it went from 2012 to 2016. And then the anime actually came out in 2015 and ran from January 2015 until June 30th, 2016.
Okay, so it's over.
Yeah, I don't know. There's 41 episodes in an OVA, so it might be over. It might not. It could be some Bleach shit. Like, I don't know. I haven't finished it.
Fair enough.
And I didn't want to know, you know what I'm saying, to be honest. So,
I got you.
It was directed by a guy named Saiji Kishi. I'm so sorry, bro. Saiji. Seijikishi. I think that's right. Saiji Kishi.
Sure.
His list is immense of work that he's been on. Like,
anything we know there?
I'm a name. I mean, no. I'm going to keep it real.
Oh, wow.
He's done a lot.
But look at this. Look how long this list is. I don't know a single one of these anime. Wow.
Well, there's a lot out there, you know?
There's nothing. I'll read some. Like, Persona 4, the Golden Animation. Yuki Yuna is a hero.
Oh, Persona. I mean,
there you go.
Yeah, Yuki Yuna sounds familiar too.
Devil Survivor 2, the animation. Humanity Has Declined. Persona 4, the animation. Kasia Sama Dolls. Angel Beats. Astro Fighter.
Yeah, Persona is like what Joker's from in Smash Brothers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. Joker's trash in Smash Brothers, so
you know. I don't like him either. He punishes you for kicking his ass.
It's so stupid.
Yeah.
So it was written by a guy named Makoto Uzu. He's done a lot of work too on a lot of things that I don't know as well. A lot of the same things that the director was on. Pretty much, like their stuff is very similar. But this guy's been around for a really long time. If you guys want to take a look, like they have a whole 2010s decade, 2000s decade, 2020s. At least
20 years or so.
Yeah, he's been around for about 20 years. I'll just shout out to Drifting Dragons. I don't know what that is. It's just a cool name. I like alliteration. The studio, Lerche is the name of the studio. Again, we fall into a category of there's a lot of anime, guys. Let's just start with that. There's a lot of anime in this world.
Of course.
That's what's interesting is people, like, when you say, I like anime, they think, oh, yeah, Dragon Ball Z. And it's like, no, that's just the popular ones in the United States.
Yeah.
You know, like, when you really get into it, it's like anime is its own platform that has a bunch of genres.
Yeah, its own medium.
Exactly. That's what I mean. It's own medium that has all these different genres within it. And I don't even know how many genres there are, you know, because it's just so many. So point being, though, is like there's another Classroom of the Elite they did. They did 7 Senses of the Reunion. They did Radiant. They did Given. They did Rumble Garinaldal. Classroom of the Elite 2nd season. There's a 3rd season of Classroom Elite, whatever that is. You know, it's like they have a bunch of shows that I've never heard of. So, you know, but they started out in 2011, and they have a lot of the same directors. The guys, Shiji Kishi and Masumu Anda, have been pretty much the common directors and collaborators for pretty much everything they've done. So they out here. Another thing that they did is actually, hilariously, while we were talking about it, guess what I found, guys?
What'd you find?
Live action version.
Live action. Live Assassination Classroom.
Assassination Classroom.
This is like an actual movie? Or is this?
No, it's a movie.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah.
That's him, you know, doing his moving thing. Actually, doesn't look bad.
Doesn't look bad.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, as much as I would have thought the octopus dude would look not good,
it looks good.
It's not too bad.
And also, on top of that, it was actually received really well. So just like the anime was received well, the manga was received well. The movie was received really well.
Came out when?
It came out in 2015. The first one. There's a second one that came out in 2016.
Okay.
All right.
How about that?
Right. So, I mean, if we like the show, maybe we'll go and watch one of the movies as a one-off.
I mean, I don't necessarily wouldn't mind that. I mean, if it looks, that looks solid.
We'll see.
Well, it did well. The movie actually did really well in the Japanese box office. Mm. It opened number one in the Japanese box office with $3.42 million on April 5th, 2015, and grossed over $20 million, which would make it the 10th highest grossing Japanese film at the Japanese box office in 2015. And overall, it ended up being $23 million. And they did a second one that came out on March 25th, 2016. There's also a video game that came from Bandai.
Really?
That came out in 2015.
What would be the game? Find your inspiration to further your education.
Well, if we want to go down the rabbit hole, here we are. It's an action video game developed by Bandai for the 3DS, based on the science fiction comedy manga series. The game follows a middle-class school of students in their homeroom and an octopus teacher.
Okay.
Gameplay. Section of Class Editor is an action game where players control a middle school student. This game is divided into different missions, featuring different requirements for the missions to be cleared. Primarily revolve around defeating the student's homeroom teacher within a given time limit. Defeating Koro Sensei is done via the use of different types of firearms, setting traps, and placing traps in a sequence that will produce combos, dealing greater damage. If a trap is triggered at the close range, the player will enter fever time, allowing Koro Sensei to be rapidly shot. Certain missions see the player play as Koro Sensei, which has to avoid defeat from the other students.
Oh, interesting.
Reception and sales. The gameplay missions received neutral reception from the critics. The most popular, Famitsu, the most popular video game magazine in Japan, rated the game 25 out of 40 and calculated a normalized rating of 6.3 out of 10 based on four other critics' reviews. The gameplay of missions received a mixed critical response. Namaku Kushida officially described the game as an easy to play, whereas Famitsu opinion that he experienced it as difficult to tell which characters have certain abilities, making gameplay feel imprecise. Enjoyed the game's amount of content, but also wrote that the game started to feel repetitive after a while. The game's general style is met with more favorable reception than the gameplay. Tatsu voiced a liking how the game's traps are reminiscent of the Assassin's Classroom manga, and I'm describing it as adorable, and Kushida complimented the game's black comedy style and character animation. And it sold over 25,000 copies in its first 3 days of release, and the game overall has sold 83,000 copies.
Not a lot.
Yeah, no. I don't even know if you could buy it in the States or not.
I would assume no.
I'd be interested to try it.
Yeah.
Just so I could be like, this is dumb.
I think I still got a 3DS tucked away somewhere.
I do. I still have mine. Yeah. Oh, I don't. I gave it away. Damn.
I still got one.
Pain.
Maybe I'll let you borrow it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That is my factual actuals.
Brennan, thank you for pulling that up. And we gave you a good 7 minutes to pull that up, too. You got your stuff together, man. I appreciate that, man. You're back on your job. You did your job well, man. It's been a while. Thing.
Thank you, man. That's what happens when you show up.
All right, man.
That was a shot of ice. Fuck you, ice. I got you. And there's our rating.
All right, Rob, what you got for us for this recap? Episode 1-4, Assassin's Classroom.
Try to get through this. So. We open on the bottom of the barrel, Class 3E, as their octopus creature teacher arrives and starts to take attendance while they unload clip after clip from rifles and pistols on him. However, his ability to move at Mach 20
gang, nigga.
Allows him to dodge it all with a huge smile on his face. As the octopus teaches the English lesson, we get an exposition dump from our main character named Nagisa. At the beginning of the school year, 70% of the moon was destroyed, and the creature did it told the world governments that he planned to do the same to Earth itself in year's time.
Easy work.
However, to make it fun for him, the creature promised to teach a class of students how to be assassins so they could try and stop him. The class chosen was Class 3E, and a government official named Karasuma swore them to secrecy about it. He demonstrated to them that even though, conventional weapons don't hurt the creature, rubber knives and BBs harmless to human can, but he's so fast and strong he just mocks his assailants by grooming them while they try to kill him. The creature clarified that he is from Earth and not an alien, and or so he says, and also promised not to kill or, hurt any of the students over the course of the year. Finally, Karasuma said that whoever is skilled enough to kill the creature will get 10 billion yen. billion with a B.
That's like $80 million.
Still not bad.
Not bad.
Not mad at it.
That's my guesstimation. I'm actually telling you the real number.
By the way, while you're doing that, can you also... I did this the other day. I looked up what the actual speed of Mach 20 is. Can you look up what that is in miles per hour?
You got that?
Okay. Fucking insane. Because, like, here's the other part, like, just for context. Did you guys see Top Gun? The new Top Gun?
I haven't seen it. Oh,
I want to see it.
Okay. Cam, did you see it?
Not yet.
Okay. All that to say, like, there's a sequence at the beginning of the movie where he goes Mach 10.
It's $72 million. That was close.
Oh, wow. That's pretty close.
Yeah.
But anyways, to say that this dude goes... 2 times faster than even the fastest thing that we have right now that's even just like experimental technology. Dude is fast.
Mm-hmm.
At recess time, the creature flies to China for lunch, which is how he does that. I think I also read that Mach 10 can reach anywhere in the world. Mach 10 can reach anywhere in the world within an hour.
Wow. Okay.
So that's fast. So he goes to basically goes to China for lunch, grading papers at supersonic speed. Left alone, some bullies in the back of the class rope Nagisa into helping them with an assassination plan. Nagisa tries to tell them about all the notes he's been making about
the 7,672 miles an hour.
Holy shit. That's Mach 10 or Mach 20?
Mach 10.
So double
Mach 20 is 15. So it says you can get around the world in 1 to 2 hours if you don't refuel.
At Mach 20?
At Mach 20.
Holy. If that dude was going Mach 20, that school would no longer be there.
Well, he does carry, like, whenever he does fly, there's like a bunch of shit happening on the side. I feel like he has to slow down before he gets to school.
He probably can't. That's his top speed, so he's not flying at Mach 20 all the time.
Oh my god, yeah, he would just like they would be evaporated.
He'd probably be like the boy when he's just blowing through people. Just
yeah, he'd be like A-Train, just like absolutely demolishing, demolishing people. So, yeah, Nagisa tries to tell the bullies about, you know, he's been making notes about the teacher's weaknesses. He tries to tell them about it. They really couldn't care less. They just tell him to go through with their plan, giving him some kind of item that he hangs onto. And Nagisa, having very low self-esteem, agrees. Soon the creature returns holding a missile he caught while flying. And Nagisa says, hey, it must be tough for you. And he's like, on the contrary, you know, you're all powerful when everybody guns for you, which makes Nagisa think about how everybody ignores and underestimates him, which is how he wound up in class 3E. The next period, the creature is having them write poetry about tentacles when Nagisa's one friend, Kayano, asks him, you know, the teacher what his name is. And embarrassed, he says he doesn't actually really have one and turns a shade of pink. Nagisa recognizes this from his notes as being signifying the teacher is a bit slower. And when he turns that color of pink, and he decides that's the moment to make his move with the bully's plan, approaches the teacher with his poem while hiding a knife behind it. And when he gets close, he lunges at the teacher, who catches the knife. However, Nagisa had the grenade that had been given to him by the bullies tied around his neck, filled with BBs, and it explodes, leaving the teacher's body charred. The bully celebrates, but finds Nagisa is unharmed, protected by discarded skin from the creature, and it turns out he's hiding on the ceiling, unharmed but furious, into a frightening appearance. And he explains that he can shed his skin once per month, which saved him this time, and he tells them that their assassination attempt was dishonorable, and at Mach speed collects the address plates from all their friends and family, telling them if they do something like that again, he will kill all of their loved ones.
Just pointing out the way that he phrased that was that I promised the government I wouldn't hurt you. Yeah. I didn't say what I wouldn't do to your family.
Do you believe him in that?
Do I believe him? No. I don't think he's going to hurt anybody.
When he said that, I was like, eh.
You won't.
But it was scary, though.
If I was
a kid, I'll be very convinced.
Yeah. He then changes back to his usual self, congratulates Nagisa on getting so close, and says that he needs to have more regard for his own life. And we see in a flashback the creature promised a dying woman that he would be the teacher for reasons that haven't quite been revealed yet. And in the present, Nagisa is inspired by his teacher's lecture and promises that, hey, I'm going to kill you. And in closing, Kayano gives the teacher a nickname, Koro-sensei, short for the Japanese word for indestructible. Another day, Nagisa and his classmate and a classmate named Sugino try to sneak up on Koro before school and kill him with a baseball with BBs embedded in it. Of course, Koro dodges it, managing to retrieve a glove and catch it before it even makes contact. That's how fast he is. And he tells him that, you know, hey, this was an inspired assassination attempt, but Sugino is still depressed by his failure. At recess, Koro leaves to catch a baseball game in New York City. When he returns, he gives Sugino a pep talk about why he's so down. And Sugino says, like, hey, I used to be on the baseball club. I got cut from the team. And afterwards, I just got so depressed that, you know, my grades fell. And that's how I wound up in class 3E. Nagisa spots the two of them talking and comes outside to see Koro giving Sugino some sort of like physical examination with his tentacles. And Koro IDs that Sugino is copying a specific picture, one that he also examined while he was in NYC. He tells Sugino, like, hey, you don't have the same shoulder strength as that dude, but honestly, your wrists and your elbows are much more flexible. If you just adapt your pitching style to what you're good at, you could be even better than him. And Sugino takes that lesson to heart, becomes inspired to play baseball again. And watching this, Nagisa realizes Koro goes farther to inspire his students than most regular teachers. Back at the school's main campus, Karasuma applies to become a class 3E's gym teacher and sees that the class is thought to be the worst of the worst students in the school, whether it's for grades or behavior. And when he arrives on the 3E campus, he sees, though, that all the students are actually happily working together to kill Koro and thinks they look more inspired than any of the kids he saw on the main campus. As Koro runs away from the students, armed with spears and guns, Nagisa jots down notes on observed weaknesses, such as him getting shaky when he's excited, that he freaks out easily, and that he can be very petty when it comes to revenge. And Kayano asks him if he thinks that they'll be able to beat him eventually, and Nagisa says, you know, hey, we will in time. Elsewhere at the Ministry of Defense, they release a violent student from custody named Karma, telling him that he will join Class 3E and will also attempt to try and kill Koro. Karma happily agrees, saying that he always wanted to try and kill a teacher. As Karasuma takes over the gym class from
Koro... He's a creepy kid.
He's very creepy. Yeah. You want to look out for this kid.
Yeah.
As Karasuma takes over the gym class from Koro, he tells the students he's going to teach them the basics of assassination techniques to give them a better chance against Koro. As gym class ends, Koro worries that, you know, Karasuma is stealing his popularity. But his real problem arises when Karma gets to the school, and he's even the first student to do any damage to him as he, you know, tapes some pieces of the rubber knife to his hand, and when he shakes Koro's tentacle, it explodes when they touch. As Karma taunts Koro, he says, you know, hey, I'm going to be the one to kill you. Nagisa thinks back to when they were actually in the same class when they were younger, and he even had problems with violence then. Koro struggles with how to deal with Karma. As Nagisa notes, another weakness is his soft hands as he's like punching the wall over and over again. And as the new students continues to like lay traps with BBs and steal his Italian gelato, and Nagisa wonders if, you know, hey, is this going to be what causes Koro to lose his friendly teacher disposition. Later at the subway station, Karma threatens a couple bullies who are picking on Nagisa for being in class 3E, and they catch up. Mostly, though, Karma is just looking for intel on Koro, asks if he likes or dislikes being compared to an octopus. Nagisa tells him, hey, I think he likes it. You know, he brings it up a lot. And of course, Karma just immediately uses this to play mind games, bringing an impaled octopus to school the next day, telling Koro, oh, I killed it because I thought it was you. Oops, my bad.
I like this kid.
Koro, though, has decided that his approach to Karma will be to kill him with kindness, turning the octopus into a delicious food dish for Karma to eat. Later, he paints Karma's nails when he pulls a gun on him in math, puts him in a frilly apron in home ec when Karma tries to slash him with a knife, and combs his hair during reading period when Karma tries another surprise attack. During the string of defeats, Karma gets frustrated. Nagisa tries to talk with him about it, saying Koro isn't like other teachers. He cares about his students, and, you know, that gives Karma another idea. And when Koro approaches, Karma throws himself off a cliff, knowing that Koro will try to save him, but planning to shoot him when he gets close. As he falls, his life flashes before his eyes, and we see that Karma actually did have behavioral problems, but it was usually in fights sticking up for people who were being looked down on. And in the end, the other teachers just cast him aside because of that. Still, before Karma hits the ground, Koro is able to save him, making a web of his tentacles. He tells Karma that, you know, hey, letting you die is not an option, even if Karma is trying to kill him. And he seems also inspired by Koro's care for his students. And though he still wants to kill his teacher, they move forward with mutual respect, except for the fact that Karma stole his wallet and, you know, took his money for lunch. As the last episode starts, Koro is buying snacks at a 7-Eleven knockoff when he spies some thugs harassing a lady outside the store. He disposes of them relatively nonviolently, and it turns out that she is the new English teacher for Class 3E, Irina Jelovich. As Koro introduces Irina to the class, she is all over him, seemingly infatuated, even complimenting his diarrhea pill eyes. Nagisa notices that Koro seems to like her too, and he notes down that he has another weakness, boobs. Later, as Koro plays with the kids outside, Karasuma talks with Irina, and it turns out that she is really a professional femme fatale assassin that uses her looks to get close to her targets, and she intends to kill Koro just the same way for the award money. Irina talks sweet to Koro, basically, hey, why don't you fly out to Vietnam, get me some coffee, allowing her, you know, to tell the students what's really up. Her sweet demeanor goes away completely as she lights a cigarette, tells them to call her by her last name only, Jelovich, but Karma immediately just starts calling her Miss Bitch for short. Irina then walks over to Nagisa, tells him, hey, I hear you got a lot of intel on and info on Koro. Why don't you give me some of that? And then rewards him with a kiss and smothering him in her boobs. She tells him, tells everyone to stay out of her way and that she has a plan to kill Koro soon. And the thugs from 7-Eleven arrive, turning out that they were actually her lackeys. When Koro returns, Irina lures him alone into a shack and attempts to seduce him. When she steps behind some boxes to remove her clothes, her lackeys open fire on Koro with machine guns loaded with regular bullets. Of course, this doesn't work, and the bullets just melt in his body. It turns out Koro was suspicious all along, having smelled her partners on the campus, and he easily knocked them out. He explains to Irina that, you know, her attempts are even less creative than his students, and he goes about his usual punishment that for his would-be assassins by grooming her, giving her a massage, and then doing adult things with his tentacles, which, to be honestly, is pretty fucking problematic, but I'm not going to unpack that here right now. Embarrassed, Irina decides to double down on her efforts and ask the students to help her, but they hate her and refuse and pelt her with papers and stuff. She goes on to complain to Karasuma, but he tells her, you know, you should apologize, honestly. Shows her how Koro is actually a good teacher to these kids. He tells her, if you want to be successful here, you need to take your teaching responsibilities seriously. In the end, she goes back to the class, actually starts teaching them English, though most are just like seduction phrases like, hey, you're really good in bed, which she would use in her assassin work.
So funny.
But the kids decide to forgive her, accept her as their teacher. Still, to her chagrin, they decide to call her Professor Bitch. Outside the classroom, though, Koro admires how she is starting to fit in, and Karasuma starts to think maybe Koro expected this outcome all along and has been planning this from the beginning, making the school an ideal learning environment for students and assassins. And that's where we wrap up episodes 1-4.
Ah, thank you, Rob, for the recap. Miss Bitch. When she came on the scene, she was fun.
Professor.
Professor Bitch, I'm sorry.
There we go.
Professor Bitch. Came out pulling out of Virginia Slim, started smoking.
She said, great. Fuck these kids.
Yeah, fuck these kids right out the gate. All right, man, question time. All right. So, first question. What would be your first tactic to kill the teacher? Me personally, I probably would have sat back first, studied all the things the teacher uses on a consistent basis. And I would have tried to just booby trap all those things.
Mm.
Similar to what the old dude did with the handshake or whatever.
Yeah.
I would have did that with, like, anytime his pins that he always uses, I have all those pins booby trapped. Whether he grabs them, hands explode. So I might not be to kill him, but damage would be done. So that was my first tactic. My second tactic, and just, I'm just going to say these two, was immediate, like, that podium that he always stands at, I would have blew up that podium. It would have been booby trapping all the stuff,
yeah.
The knives, the little balls. Hopefully something would have hit him. But I at least think when I saw what Karma did, I was just like, that's some shit that was the route I would have went. Mm. I would have set back because people hear 80 million and they're just getting too excited. They're trying to shoot guns. It's like, they said Mach 20, bro. It ain't happening.
No.
So you got to get that out your head. You're not going to
surprise this guy.
You got to be slick. So that would be my first, that would be my tactic. What I would use is either just booby trapping a lot of his stuff, whether it's like pens, if he's putting shit on paper, shitting, you know, whatever he's using on a consistent basis.
A bullet goes about 1,800 miles an hour.
That's fast.
It's fast, but not Mach 20.
Yeah, he's like, was it 5,000 miles an hour? How fast?
No, it's like 17.
No, 15,000. No,
it's like 17,000.
Yeah, 17,000. He's so much faster than a bullet.
So it's like, once you see that, all right, we're all shooting fucking AKs at this guy, and it's not even coming close. It's like, all right, that's not the tactic anymore. We got to do something slick. And I think Karma took the route. I would have been clowning him, seeing how mad he got in his head so he can lose his composure. Yep. Rob, what you got?
My inclination would be, honestly, I was surprised even just to see these kids going home. Like, number one, because it's like, you got $10 billion on the line. Like, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
To just be like, all right, like, school's over. That's a wrap. I'm going to head home.
Mm.
The other thing is just, like, the survival of the earth depends on all this. To me, I'm surprised, like, these kids aren't just, like, sticking around. What's this guy up to?
Mm-hmm.
Like, monitoring him. Does he sleep? Like, does he go home? Does he stay at the school? What's this guy up to?
Mm-hmm.
Try to find his routine. Try to find out what he does on a daily basis. Kind of like what you were saying. What does he use?
Yeah.
Does he sleep?
Mm-hmm.
Can we try to sneak up on this guy? And then, yeah, just like try to find his weak moments, just like Nagisa is doing. Like, make those notes. Especially like, okay, if he gets a certain color when he's sleepy or whatever, find those moments, find when he's not paying attention and take advantage of that.
Yep.
That's what I would do.
Brandon.
What y'all said, I mean, booby traps and titties, like.
Quite literally booby traps.
Yeah, literally booby traps. Like, yeah. That was probably,
at this point, right?
That, I mean, I would.
So much sure.
I would figure out a way to be able to make the projectiles move as fast as I could. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So 15 to 1800 miles an hour isn't fast enough.
No, it's not doing it.
So that's what I would be thinking, like, okay, so what can we do to make this at least move half as fast as he does? And the reason being is because if we can move, if it's fast as half as he can,
fast as half as he? Go ahead.
But if we can get that, then that means that we can trap him in a space during a moment in time. Because, like, for example, you were saying you would, you know, booby trap all those places that he is, but all these things are going literally a fifth the speed that he moves. Right. So as soon as it starts blowing up, he'd be like, oh, okay. I'll just walk over there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if they're going half his speed, he's like, oh, okay, wait, hold on. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I would figure out the technology to be able to advance the speed of our weapons or figure out some kind of, I don't know, speed of the weapons. That's my answer for that question.
Maybe lay some sort of trap like that he could spring while you're not even there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, man, I got a question. I'm going to leave it for next week, though. I got a question there. Because I wrote down like 6-7 questions, and I'll just leave some for next week. But, yeah. In school, did you have a teacher that all the students liked? What about one that all the students hated, Rob?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I remember that we had in seventh grade. I don't know if he would have been around, Cam, because I know you and I went to the same school. Did you have Mr. Kendrat for history, or was he around when
Mr. Who what?
Mr. Kendrat.
I did not.
Okay, he was just a seventh grade history teacher. Everybody loved this dude. He was like a dude that like you wanted him as your history teacher. Mm. Like he gave out like prizes for stuff. Like he was super cool, super animated. And I remember he told a story of just like. The year before we got there, there were three history teachers. Two of them got pulled up to be assistant principals. Mm. They apparently came to him first. And he told us this. He was just like, they came to me for the job. I said no. And they were like, and they asked him why. He was like, because the kids like me and I want to keep it that way.
That's a fair point. Assistant principals are usually the ones dealing out the punishments.
That's on discipline.
Yeah.
So he was immediately like, no, I'm not doing that. But he was like, he would have these like cool, he had like all these phrases that he would go through through the year to teach like these different history lessons. And like if he had all these, like he had this wall that just like had all these different like words and phrases and like things on it. And if like we had extra time, he'd just like ask people like pick something on the wall and I'll like explain it and tell you what it is. And then like he would give those away throughout the year. Like, so people would get to like have like little. So Mr. Kendrat, he was a dope teacher. I had him in seventh grade. On the flip side of that, my seventh grade math teacher, we did not get along. Like it was like our entire class was just like we are banding together to make sure we learn as little as possible. But like she would tell us like you dumbasses are all gonna fail this test.
Oh,
like nobody's they're gonna.
Who was that?
Mrs. Grinnells. I don't know. She was older. She might not have been around by the time you were there. People gave her a hard time. My buddy and I gave her a hard time specifically in our class. And like,
that's
I knew just from other people
funny.
That they were, it was just like people were not, they were not for her at all. And they gave her a hard time.
I want to see what Rob does to give a teacher a hard time. Like, all right, this fucking bitch, today's the day. And it's like,
the one thing I remember doing a lot of it, well, I do remember it got to a point where like I had to like, It got so bad that like I had to bring in basically like weekly like she would have to sign a thing that like I wasn't fucking up in class.
I've
so,
had like, that. Before. I've been there.
Yeah,
before.
Yeah, I've been there.
And then I remember at one point like my buddy and I were like throwing notes or something back and forth to each other, and they were just like, she's like, let me get that, and I was like, Matt, eat it, and he just like took that and he just like crumpled it up and like shoved it down in his mouth. But we messed with her a lot.
I have a question, Rob.
What's up?
And you don't have to share it if you don't, but I'm just curious. I've never even thought about this. Mm. What was your graduating GPA from high school?
Mine?
Yeah.
I think it was like a 3.2.
Is that surprising to anybody? Because I feel like you easily are a 4.0 student if you wanted to.
No. Well, I did have another teacher that I almost brought up for this, Mr. Hatcher, who, again, he was my fourth.
I remember Mr. Hatcher.
You had Mr. Hatcher?
I did not have him, but he was around when I was there. Yeah.
He was a big teacher for me. Obviously, I still gave some teachers a hard time after this, but I remember I had him for fourth grade, and the thing he told me was just like, Rob, you have the mind of a Ferrari, and you drive it like a jalopy, is what he told me. And that was like a thing that like it stuck with me. And he was a teacher that really was just like, he saw potential in me, and he tried to bring it out. And like I really struggled with math that year, and like, he gave me like a pep talk and I really worked on it. And then like, I got good at it. And he was just like, you did it. Like he pulled me aside. He's just like, I challenged you. And like, you met it. Like, and he gave me like some candy or something like that. He gave me like a lollipop or whatever. But
I bet
like,
you felt good.
I felt like
we're just
I was
dogs to these teachers.
Fourth grade. I was on top of the world that day. I was just like, I nailed the multiplication tables. Yeah. No, Mr. Hatcher was great. Yeah.
Brandon, who you got?
All right, in seventh grade, there was a math teacher that we had in middle school. His name was Mr. Koss. Everybody loved Mr. Koss because he was like a cartoon character. Like, imagine like a character from that 70s show. He had like the shaggy hair. He dressed just like he still lived in the 70s, like an old guy with like a wrinkled face, but like a thin frame body. Obviously smoked cigarettes every day, rode a Harley Davidson. And he just had like these isms, the things that he would always say, like catchphrases of like how he'd punish people in his class. He'd be like, if you got in trouble, he'd be like, Edwards, you got five. And I'd be like, fuck. Because five means you have to do all the multiplications in the table from zero. You have to write them out by hand from zero to 12 five times. So that shit would take a long time. It would take like 2 to 3 hours to do it once. You know what I'm saying? And he'd be like, you got five. And if you didn't do the five, then it would fuck your grade up badly. Damn. But if you did do it, then it does nothing to your grade. So it's just like either you do that, you don't do it, and your grade gets fucked up, or you do it and you waste all these hours to do these stupid multiplication tables.
Man.
So that's how you get in trouble. But he was so funny. Like, he would blaze you in class. He would blaze, like, I remember just thinking, like, this dude is absolutely hilarious. So shout out to Mr. Koss. Unfortunately, he did pass away shortly after after I left middle school. But I remember it was, like, everybody was poured out for that guy.
Yeah.
On the other side of it, I don't remember his name, but as a high school teacher, I think his name was Mr. Todd. And I just didn't like this motherfucker because it was just blatantly obvious that he was like a staunch Republican. And this is the part where I had started to learn about politics. I was like, you know, I was like 15 or 16 years old.
Don't
and
like
we would
Mr.
get into
Todd.
Debates. Because I remember it was during the Bush, the beginning of the Bush.
Gore?
No, wait.
Bush Obama?
Think.
No, he didn't run against Obama.
No, it was during the Clinton administration. I remember this because it was during the Clinton administration. And I remember, you guys remember during the Clinton administration, the economy like was roaring.
Yeah.
You know, like things were really good.
First time we ever had a surplus or the national debt was, zeroed out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember it, but I did read about it.
Yeah. So I was into politics. I've always been into politics. Yeah. But so I remember that. And I remember getting into a debate with him. I'll never forget it. Is that I was just like, you know, I pointed out like blah, blah, blah. I had all these points of why Bill Clinton was, doing a good job as the president. You know, now I'm older. I see that he did a lot of racist shit too. But point being is that he did, you know, for America in general, he wasn't a bad president, like objectively, you know, specifically now looking at where we are. And I remember he didn't have an argument back to what I said, except for, you know, I really just feel that like he gets a lot of, he's benefited a lot from his predecessors. That's really what it is. Like, they set him up for success, and now he succeeds. I'm like, and then my argument back to that, I was like, he's in the third year of his second term.
Yeah.
What?
At this point.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, what? You know, and he's like, and he literally put me in detention for that. Like, he literally he's talking back too much. I told you to be quiet, Edwards. I was like, well, you're spreading your beliefs on these students about stuff that's not fact. Like, these aren't facts. I was like, these aren't facts that you're saying to us. And he was like, Edwards, get outside. And I was like, you get outside. And I got, that's when I got sent.
Yeah,
like,
that'll
get you in detention.
Yep, that's
you get outside. But you were right to say what you said.
Yeah.
my friends were just like, yeah, Brendan knows shit. Because they didn't know anything about politics. It was funny.
Yeah.
Can I go to college?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Wait, hold on. What was your graduating GPA from high school?
2.8.
Okay.
What was yours, Brian?
It was like 3.15 or 3.2, about the same.
And I mean, I got it up. Like, mine was low at first.
Yours
I was like
high, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You had like a 3.7.
I think it was like a 3.8, 3.7. Yeah.
Wow, overachiever over here. Mm.
Yeah, I struggled.
Well done.
It was consistent throughout college.
I mean, I struggled in a sense because I was like, I was that class clown. I didn't care to just stay.
No.
Yeah, I was just like, I'll be in class. I was like, I can do the work. I'm just like, besides math, I struggled.
Yeah.
After algebra, they was like, yo, he's fucked with this trigonometry. And I was
more, I could do it. It was just boring. I'm like, I could do the one problem. Why do I do 100 of these?
I did not understand trigonometry. It was another language to me.
I don't like, I never took it.
Up until, like, in middle school, when I got to, like, multiplication and, like, dividing, I was just like, yo, I'm the king of this shit.
Yeah.
And then
I remember that feeling.
Yeah, then fractions came along. I was just like, how's this possible?
No, the thing is, I liked fractions to understand how parts of a whole worked. Mm. But when they were like, multiply these fractions and divide these fractions, I was like, take me out.
Once the denominator was different, I was like, how do I get
or
up the same?
The top number is bigger than the small.
Never I hated
added the one big number in there too.
Don't forget your remainder, guys. I was like, fuck out of here.
I was I'm done for. So I'm gonna go college with a professor named Juan Huguin. He might be a doctor now, actually. He was one of my business. He did a majority of our business classes in college. And I love this dude because he was just, he always was like, yo, first of all, you're not spending money on the textbook. That's stupid. You know, textbooks in college were like fucking $150.
Any professors were like that were the best.
I was boom.
So
check.
Expensive.
Okay, great. So he'll either have his own textbooks, which is like, all right, he's trying to make some money, but it was like $50. So we was like, I don't give a fuck about buying it. I'll buy it then. But a lot of his stuff was all of experience. Because I never, like, when I would go into, in college, in any class, it was a memorization thing. All right, remember what you did. And then when you got to the next year, next semester, you didn't remember that shit anyways. For him, he's like, no, I'm going to tell you my experiences at Budweiser. I'm going to tell you my experiences at these other companies and what I did and when we did marketing, what we kind of, the strategies that we use. And that stuff, that just, we did a lot of hands-on stuff, so it stuck with me, and it made the class fun. Mm. It made being in a marketing class fun, because that's what we got to do anyways. It's not a bunch of fucking terms. I got to be in there and know how to create some shit. So a lot of people liked him. Like, a lot of our students in class, we liked him. We liked doing group projects. You know, we had to do, you know, a lot of presentations, and he kind of made it, not easy, but he made it comfortable. You know, people don't like public speaking. It's very scary for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, yo, I'm not going to grade you hard, but I'm going to grade you on these different levels, and this is how you can get better at it. This is how you can do these things. So him, I have, if I can remember the other one, two that were bad. One was a science teacher in seventh grade, Mr. Carrion. And Mr. Carrion was an asshole, and he loved it. Anytime he did anything, he'd just be like, I fucking kick you out right now. I kick you out, motherfucker. Like, he did not care.
He didn't
cursed
say
at
motherfucker,
us.
Did he?
He cussed at us. What? He did not give a shit.
Wow.
He did not care. Damn. I think it got to a point within that semester, he didn't care. Because all the students, like, you had to go through him for that science class. Like, the majority of us did. So they didn't get along with him. So he was just rough to deal with. I think I barely passed with a fucking C minus. Like, and that's when they were just like, all right, a C minus can get you through. But then a lot of times a C minus is like a retake. Like in college, if you got a C minus for certain classes.
Oh, really?
Interesting.
Yeah, C minus wasn't passing.
Wow.
Yeah, you had to get some classes were like, you got to get a C or above. So well, what some professors did, they'll give you a C-minus on purpose and be like, hey, see you next semester, baby.
Ugh, that's
I'll
rough.
Fucking see you here next semester.
That is rough.
That is very rough.
Yeah, so yeah, Mr. Carrion, I can't think of the other teacher. But, I mean, yeah, those two, in a sense, were like, and I hope they're all doing well. You know, I don't wish any ill will on any of them.
No.
But, yeah. Yeah.
Fuck Mr. Todd. I don't wish anything bad upon him, but yeah. I hope that he's not teaching anymore.
Yeah, that's
because you can't teach like that.
If you hate the children, just come on, just
well, in that case, it's not even hating the children; it's not having the right viewpoints, and then a bunch of impressionable kids, and then swaying how they think.
Very true.
I don't think his name was Mr. Todd.
So we're attacking this guy who we don't even know. Yeah,
I said it from the beginning. I don't remember his name. Okay. Mr. Todd. I just remember who Mr. Todd was.
Mr.
He was
Todd
a freshman
works.
Basketball coach. Mr. Todd was cool.
Okay. Oh, you just reminded me of basketball coach. Just real quick, another teacher named Mr. Ortiz. This dude, he was our Spanish teacher. And this motherfucker, I was just bombing Spanish because I had another teacher named Mr. Brockman in Spanish 1, and he just passed me. So I was like, cool, I got Spanish 2. Yeah, I was like, I didn't learn
help.
A fucking thing.
I'm sure when he was passing you, he was like, this is going to be rough for you, but I don't want to see you
good
again.
Luck.
But I transferred school, so I went to a whole different thing. I would have had him for Spanish 2. I would have passed.
I see.
Right. So when I got to Spanish 2 and the other school, this dude, he was an asshole. Then he became our assistant basketball coach on top of that. So he was an asshole, and he was like, I remember, he was like, I'll pass you, Keenan, if you pass this next Spanish test. I fucking studied my ass off. I passed with a 70.
Whoa.
Wow.
This dude said, this looks like a mark on the paper, not an accent mark over the line. I said, that's an accent mark over the particular letter. He's like,
yeah.
It looks like it's part of the paper. Like, it's like, you know how your paper can sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, he's like, that looks like that. So, or he said something along those lines. And he didn't give me the fucking score. He gave me like a 68.
Oh, my God.
And then he gave me a fail for the fucking class.
What?
Then
then
the next semester, he's an assistant basketball coach. And all of a sudden, I went from pretty much being out of the whole team, one of the three best players, to damn near not playing almost the whole season.
Oh, my God.
Only good thing I got on him was when we did a drill. Sometimes they'll get the coach like a pad, and it's like a post-up drill. You get the ball, you know, you like kind of throw a little bit of an elbow, get by, a little post move, you go through. I just made sure I got the ball. Boom! I didn't care if I made the shot. But he felt, I was only at 115, but he felt whatever power I fucking had, because he was skinny too. And that was my only revenge. But dog, I had to take Spanish 2 two more times.
Oh, that's my God.
Rough.
Yeah, because of that shit.
That's rough.
On that, just one quick thing. There was a basketball coach that, he was the coach of JV, and I was a freshman.
Mm.
And we were playing. And the thing is, I was good. I was really good at basketball. I was playing with all varsity players. I was the only freshman playing with them. Yeah. And the coaches were playing, too. And we were just doing, like, a summer league pickup game. And we're going back and forth, and I was guarding the JV coach. And he got by me, and everybody was like, oh, you know, talking shit. And he went up for the layup, and I ran up and jumped up, and I pinned it on the glass and brought it down.
Oh, shit.
Bro, all the seniors just immediately, like, cried, laughing, falling on the ground. Because I'm, like, the smallest guy on the court, too.
Right.
Falling on the ground, laughing at the coach. Man, when I tell you, when we were doing JV shit, he worked me. Like Brennan just extra laps, like, you know, like fast.
He held a grudge.
Oh, he held that grudge. It never went away. Like, and it's just like, there's nothing trash I could do. I was on that bench.
Yeah, but you still did that thing to him.
Oh, yeah.
Always had that.
But for me, I'm just like, I played excellent defense on you. You should reward that. But he didn't. He was like, sit on the bench and work.
I hope he still
I think he put me on a team just so he could make me run and just keep me on the bench.
I hope he still feels that to this day. Like, this fucking kid, where's he at right now?
He probably doesn't tell the story.
I have of a basketball, because it's like, first of all, I could pin a shot on the glass. Yeah. Let's just take a moment with
and,
that.
In high school, that was like dunking in a sense. Tapping backboard was dunking.
Yeah, anytime
like
you could get up to that range. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I was like 5'4 at the time. This was my freshman year in high, like, you know.
We used to call it tapping. You can tap the backboard. You're like, oh, you got tapped on or something like that.
Yeah, it was on the foam, but I still call that pinning it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You still did.
I pinned it. You know, I grabbed it and I brought it down.
For 5'4, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll give it to you.
Okay. I guess this question is, I guess Rob kind of said it, but it may or may not be true. Yeah. Where do you think the teacher is actually from, Brennan? Where do you think the teacher is actually from?
So, I think he's from Earth. You know? I mean,
that's what he does say.
He said, I think he's from Earth, but I think this whole thing is a love story. Mm. I think this is all, like, why the fuck else would he be teaching a classroom of misfits, of students? I feel like there's some kind of love story with some woman that had some kind of tragic end, and like her final wish or some shit was like, you know, like, take care of my students that are in these disadvantaged students that I used to work with, you know, because she couldn't do it. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't able to help these kids the way I wanted to, or maybe she was one of those kids. Something along those lines. I feel like this entire thing was like a series of unfortunate events. Like, he's like a scientist or something like that, that granted him these powers, but those powers, when he got them, killed her. And that was her final wish. And he's just like, with all the power in the world, the only thing I want to do is bring her back or make her happy. And so I can't bring her back, so I'll, you know, make her wish and make her happy. And this is the best way I can think to do it when I'm a freak like this now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you on the science experiment part. I do think that he's from Earth, like you said. I don't think it's one of those, like, we're just lying to keep it, whatever. I do think he's from Earth, an experiment. And then it's just like, I think it's just like literally like, all right, we're doing this. And I don't even think any of this is real in a sense. My personal opinion. I don't think he's going to blow up the planet. I don't think he's going to do any of that stuff. I think it's just him. All right, we got to teach these misfits because they actually, even though they're in this bottom tier class, they actually have a lot of potential to be very, very strong or great students. Or we're just like, all right, we got to take the bottom out of the bottom and we want to make them actual assassins. That's the goal, to make these kids assassins.
Well, if you're that powerful, why do you give a fuck?
I mean, if he's technically a science experiment, he's just like, all right, man.
But I'm saying, but you could do anything. You could teach the greatest students in the world. You could go, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could teach the entire world. Why one classroom? You are an intergalactic being that can blow up the moon by flying through it.
I think because
why do you care about one classroom?
I think because at that point, you're looking for something that's, like, fun, and maybe he finds using underdogs like that to seeing what their potential is fun. I don't know. Because when you're that powerful, what do you do?
The thing is, like, maybe explore the fucking cosmos. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe he has.
But I'm saying, we don't know.
Mach 20, probably.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe, like, you know, like, teach the rest of humanity, like, how to save themselves instead of just teaching one stupid classroom.
I mean, if they do a backstory, it'll probably answer those questions.
Yeah,
I think it's going to answer, but I think that's what I'm saying. There's no other argument that makes sense to me besides, like, a strong emotional plea. And normally, if it's a guy, it's because of some woman. And normally, she's not around anymore, because if she was, he'd be there with her.
Mm-hmm. It's an easy trip to follow.
Yeah, I mean, I believe him that he's from Earth. I think that's a good point, that he could be... Maybe he was human. I think that's a fair point, because, like, in that scene where we get that we've seen a couple times, the flashback where he's, like, holding the dying woman, we don't see her face. We don't see his face. But he seems like he's almost got, like, Medusa, like, sort of hair or something. Like, he's got tentacles on his head. He does not look like the smiley dude that he is in the classroom. So, and even the fact that, you know, he is attracted to what's her face.
Yeah.
The fact maybe he was human at one point and was changed into this form, and this is just like who he is now. Or maybe he's some sort of, like maybe he's a creature that they discovered, like something old, like a monster or something, or like, you know, like a Medusa or like a Bigfoot or something that they woke up. And then he's just here now.
Yeah.
But he bonded like a Beauty and the Beast style with this other woman when they tried to come for him and he couldn't save her. But she's just like, you know, you could take your revenge, but don't do that. Go help other people. So I think he, just to go with something different to say that he's not a science experiment, I'm going to say he's like maybe some like kind of ancient creature that's like much older than we even realized. Maybe that's why he knows as much as he does. And he's, because he's clearly like, he knows how to be a teacher. Like, right. He's a good teacher. He's giving them all, like, personalized questions and stuff like that.
I've been teaching for centuries, motherfucker.
It could be that he just has all that knowledge backed away in his mind that he's been around for a long time.
And also, too, it could be because, like, teaching those type of teaching those kids right there might actually be, you know, like you said, like, kind of what Cam said, just, like, you know, help out the less fortunate in a sense. I understand you want him to help out everybody, but it's just, like, maybe he wants to go by... In small
I'm just
groups.
Saying, or then, that's a challenge for him. Like he's like, well, it'd be easy to teach the best of the best people to beat me. So let's take.
But then
the
why?
Worst
but why Japan?
Yeah.
Why Japan in a prep?
Because
school?
It's anime.
No, but my point. Come on, man. Like,
no, but I'm just saying. But that's what I'm trying to say. Like your arguments to me don't necessarily make sense in the sense that's of fair. Like if that's his sentiment, then he's going somewhere where the kids don't even have food to drink.
Fair,
I mean,
but it's
eat,
still
you know
an
saying?
Anime.
So it's still an anime. But my point being, in the anime, they would do some shit like that. They'd be like, all right, maybe. Well, he does this on the other days. They would show him doing those things.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is that when you look at it from that the perspective of like, why?
It's a valid argument.
It has to be emotional.
Next question. Let's get through this.
Shut up, Keen.
What anime students do you think can possibly beat the teacher? I guess we can go from middle school to high school.
I got this one.
Three students. You can only pick three students. All right.
You're gonna take them all.
You can pick three students out of any other student.
I know, but there's only one I want.
All right, we'll see. Deku. Out the gate, I'll pick Deku. Because our main character is very, very good at, I guess, analyzing.
Yeah,
but
I had a similar thought.
At the end of the day, I don't like this main character right now. They're just not putting it together quickly enough. They're just boring. They're not cool. I feel like Deku has just as good or probably better senses in a sense when it comes to analyzing. Plus the powers that Deku has.
Right.
And if we're talking about, you
Deku
know.
Deku will get washed by this teacher, bro.
I mean, it depends what Deku we're talking about. We're talking about Deku that's all the way done right
Even
now.
Even Deku 100% with the girl on his back still ain't going at Mach 10.
It's not necessarily about that. It's about strategy. So that's what I'm saying. You have Deku there with what he has and then what he can possibly do and make up and whether it's traps and stuff like that. So Deku's one. I'm going to go Killua with the other.
Damn it.
You can still use Killua.
Why aren't we rotating our picks? So you just
yeah, okay. I feel like you should each get one and you go around.
Yeah. I mean,
then you can't pick all the best people.
Yeah, he's over here just.
Well, it's not all the best people. I'm picking three.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's fine. No, go ahead.
Whatever, man.
You just
he was literally like, he just popped in my head and I was like, oh, yeah, that's a good one. And then you said it like as I was like, damn.
See? All right, fair. All right, Killua. And here's the thing, you can still pick Killua because your team is still going to be different than mine.
Killua ain't
going
to do shit to him.
Well, here's the thing. Now I think. Right now, Brendan doesn't know what he's talking about necessarily because we're talking about a master assassin family. And they're not going to tell him to just go up to him and try to fucking murder him. They're going to be like, all right, here's some strategy we can put together to probably get this guy. And now that's where the plan can kind of come in there. You have a master assassin. Mm-hmm. You have a guy with Deku who analyzes shit. He can use Killua to his advantage. It could be fucking incredible. And then the last one I have is Mob. Using Mob, just mental. And I don't know how fast Mob can move shit with his fucking mind. He might be a little bit quick enough. He might be to keep him standstill, to be honest with you.
I was gonna say, you don't need to catch him. You need to stop him from
moving. And Mob can lock him in, lock him to that spot right there. Essentially, just walk up to his motherfucker and use all for one with a little shit, a little knife connected to you or the little things on your hand, on your little glove, sock him out. He out of there. Quick, easy work. Rob, who you got? Three.
My first pick is going to be... Light Yagami.
God damn it! That was my fucking first pick. That's the pick I wanted.
That I'm is just like that dude. Like
man, fuck this.
Take.
You can still pick him.
You can still pick him. You can still pick him. Shut up. I don't care.
He wanted to shock the people. Like yeah, they won't get this one.
I just want to say it first
because he would definitely have
kind
the strategy.
Cop out answer, but it's fine.
I mean, he would have the answer. He would figure it out. He would put the plan together.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, he's an Earthling, so Death Note might work.
That's true. Yeah. It would. If he's from Earth, it would.
Ooh, he is an Earthling.
That's his real name.
I'm gonna say. I don't know. I'm gonna say Yuji with Sukuna in there, just only because like he would go to that next level, and if when Sukuna comes out, then I think possibly he could have that like unlock that power to like do what he needs to do. Maybe get up to his next level. Because as far as we've seen. Koro isn't necessarily strong, Koro right. is fast.
Yeah.
And so at that point, like, he even has, like, you know, Nagisa notices he's got the weaker hands. He can't really do much damage with those. I think it's just the speed at which he moves. And then last, I don't know. I'll go with Team Gohan, if only because he has both strength and smarts. And so, like, if you're going to – he's got a pretty good balance of both. So if you have to have somebody to, like, try to match him on a power-for-power level, like – I think that's maybe something that he could get there. And then if he had to think of his way through this, if it turned out like, okay, like he's still faster than me or he's stronger than me or whatever, he could probably put a plan together to like, how can I do this? Especially if he's working with the other two people I picked.
Yeah. I think somebody in here did say Gohan too.
Yeah somebody right. just said.
All right. I mean, Brendan's over here whining and crying. He literally has two characters from that show he can choose from. That's actually,
I'll take L. Shut the fuck up. It's my turn. Just shut up.
I'll what take, is L going to do?
He's going to make the plan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, with the L's plan. Your intellect, yeah.
Yeah. So L's going to make the plan. I can't believe I'm saying this. Just take a breath, Brennan. You can do it. I'll take Naruto.
Wow.
Why is that?
I just know he's powerful. You know what I'm saying?
He does.
He's a student in the whole show. He's extremely powerful. And pretty much apparently wins almost every fight he fights. Yeah, I don't know what the Naruto series is. I know he makes it to Boruto.
I wonder, can he hide his scent? Cause since he can turn into like girls and stuff like that. If he can hide his scent, he can probably do some sneaking up and.
He can do the clone thing. Yeah, right? then
not just the clone thing. I think he can like, turn himself into like, yeah. like yeah. other things and stuff like that. If he can kind of hide his scent also, that's a great skill to actually have.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was a ninja skill, for sure.
Yeah. This is a show we haven't watched, but I'm just going to just throw one out there for the fans. I'm just going to say Aladdin from Magi.
Who's he?
Yeah. He's a Magi. Okay. And so he's a very powerful, like, genie level, you know, sorcerer kind of thing. He's a little kid. And he is, like I said, very powerful, super smart, and really, like, he's very earnest. But if there's a good plan behind his powers, coupled with Naruto's powers, I think there's a strong possibility that, you know, he can do it. He also has, like, a big giant that helps him out with stuff, like the giant arms and legs that'll just come out the ground and just, like, fuck shit up. Mm. So maybe, like, he could hold him down and Naruto could hit him with all the, you know, the beads and shit like that in some way, shape, or form. Because he's just so massive. Like, how big the things that Aladdin can bring is so big that it's just, like, you won't even know. Like, you could put him into a place that he doesn't even know he's inside of something and then just close it. And it's like, shit, I was inside of something.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you don't even know. Oh, damn, I didn't even know it was closing until it was already closed and the Naruto's in there just like, This was L's plan, you know. So those are my picks.
Real quick, before we move on to the next question, what about Boji? You think Boji could do that?
No. I mean, Boji's dope and all, but Boji wouldn't be able to lay a finger. Like,
what was your instinct, Boji, man? I don't know.
I'm not saying, but like Boji, I love you. Look, I told y'all from the beginning, I like Boji.
Yeah.
But just like thinking about what he does is like he picks you apart. He is very quick.
Give him one of those rubber knives, and he just the little. And like, he does a little plunge.
I don't think it's Mach 20. You know what
probably
I'm saying?
Not.
I don't think he's stabbing.
Probably not.
I don't think he's stabbing at Mach 20. No. Like, he's quick, but he's not stabbing at Mach 20.
Nah.
So
I mean, he might be to get him because if he underestimates Boji, but like, oh, Boji's slow and
that's
stupid.
What I mean, you have to. I feel like a character can move that fast. You have to trick.
You
got
to trick him, and right now he's been tricked a few times where he's gotten his arms and legs
only takes
blown
one,
up.
You know,
Boji
need
does
one.
Have a track record of surprising people that underestimate.
People know about it though. Jason was like, "Yo, Brendan knows about the Magi." Yeah, the Magi, that's a good one. I recommend it if you guys haven't seen it.
All right, dope. All right.
And there's a spinoff of it. I don't know which one's a spinoff of which, called Sinbad, The Adventures of Sinbad.
I've heard of that one.
The powers in that one are pretty
dope.
The
boat one?
Yeah, where he's like a boat captain.
Those two go together?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're like the worlds intersect.
I heard of Sinbad.
So The Adventures of Sinbad technically happened before, you know, the Magi, but the Sinbad one isn't as story structured as the Magi, and then Sinbad's a character in the Magi one. He's not the main character, and he is the main character in his show, obviously.
Got it.
So it's just like, I think the Magi one came first, and then everybody liked Sinbad so much that they were just like, all right, we're going to do a spinoff show of how he became Sinbad.
Got it.
And it's actually pretty dope how he became Sinbad.
Okay. All right. Do you think you would do well in the assassination classroom? Would you be able to be both a student and an assassin, Rob?
Hell no. I would do terrible in this environment. I'd be stressed out thinking like, I know, like, the premise of the show is he's kind of, like, making friends with everybody, and he's just like, oh, he's not all bad. He's actually, like, a real good teacher or whatever. Mm. I'd be sitting there thinking, like, this dude is going to blow up the planet every day we tick closer. Like, every moment needs to be, like, I would not be able to stop thinking about, we need to figure out how we're going to kill this dude.
Yeah.
Because there would be no relaxing, putting my feet up, doing like home ec. I'd be thinking like, we need to be capitalizing on this moment. Mm. I would be too stressed out of my mind. Like, I would not be able to just like relax and be like, oh, Koro sensei, like, you're so cool. Like, I like hanging out with you. I'd be like, this dude's a monster. He blew up the moon. Tides don't work anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Like, shit would be crazy. He destroyed 70% of
the school, Rob. They'd have to remove you from the school.
Oh my God. I would flunk out so fast. Yeah, it would not be good.
Brennan, what about you?
Oh, it'd be terrible. Same as Rob. I just wouldn't be happy. I'd be like, I feel like I'm letting down the human race every day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Going in there, it's like the whole entire human race is dependent upon me performing, and I have no hope that I can do this. You know, it's just like, because there's going to be a point where you've done everything you can think of, and it's probably going to happen in the first few weeks. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And you got to sit with this dude the whole year.
That's exactly what happened to Karma.
You know, it's just like, all right, well, you know, maybe I can learn something about this from this class, but I'd just be stressed because it's like, you go home and every single day your parents are like, so, did you get them?
Well, I thought nobody knows that they're doing this. Is that the case or no?
Yeah, they are sworn to secrecy.
They're sworn to secrecy.
Okay, but you go home every day, you know the pressure. And how the hell, as a middle schooler, do you keep that secret?
Said that, I was just like, this doesn't sound real at all. Ain't no way. This gossip been going on. But anyways, I know for me, after a while, I'll be like, this ain't my problem. Like, I'm what, 12?
Yeah.
You can say whatever the fuck you want. I'm not putting this pressure on me. You can go ahead and put it. And after a while, and learning and being around him, I feel like I'll be able to get a sense of like, kind of like this person. Like I said before, even in watching the first episode, I was like, I don't believe that this is his mission to blow up the earth. So I've been like, I don't think he's going to do this shit, man. I think there's something more to this. I think it's deeper than what it is. And so that's how I would eventually feel. But I would have that anxiety up front, like you guys too. I'd be like, man, this is fucking crazy. And I'd be like, man, I'll be calling this bluff. I was like, I want to see you do it. Why don't you just do it right now? Just blow it up right now. Who gives a shit?
But what's the goal of this?
Huh? The goal of it, I just don't believe. I just call this bluff.
But what if you're wrong?
Then who?
Bro, then what, you, it didn't you matter lost anyway. Anything.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm just saying, like you still had 6 months left. You know, like you just had him blow it up today. Like, why?
Everyone would be looking at Keenan like, come on, Keenan, why'd you do this?
There's no gain. There's nothing to gain from
you. Wouldn't be looking at anything. You'll be fucking dead.
But in 6 months. But I'm just saying, like, why don't you wait until the last day? You know what I'm saying?
Because I know he wouldn't do it.
But you don't know that.
I do know that.
You don't know that.
I'm confident in knowing that.
But confident enough to like call a bluff that doesn't even matter in that sense.
At the end
of
the
day, 12-year-old Keenan was bold.
At the end of the day, if after like you said, the first few weeks, all our strategies are gone, quit your blood clot crying, man. Shut the fuck up. Just like either get it over with or fucking just I'm not gonna be. You wanna suffer for 7 months? Like that's fucking crazy. If you're gonna do it, just fucking do it. If not.
Let's get this over with, man. Just kill it now.
Yeah, I'm going to sit there
then
and fucking
Keenan
suffer.
Would be sent to the counselor being like, okay, Keenan, how are things going otherwise?
Yeah.
We don't all need to go.
Something tells me the kids in 3E are not getting counselor time.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I don't think he would do it, but, you know, it is what it is. If you were a government official, how would you approach dealing with the teacher, Brennan?
Okay, so by government official, this question really is just like if you're the leader. And it's like, this is what's happened. You guys have already tried a bunch of military shit. They don't specify how long they tried to kill him, but it's very obvious that they can't. And so now that he's at this classroom, what would you do? For me, again, I go back to the technology aspect of thing. I'm like, give me that fucking rubber shit, and I'm going to create a bomb. You know?
Right.
Like, all them kids are dying. I'm sorry, kids. Like,
oh, my God.
Okay. The bomb is going to hit the classroom. That's the only time that he ever is there. Whoa. That's the only time he sits still is in the classroom. Otherwise, they don't know where he is.
This piece of shit.
What if your son was in the classroom?
Huh?
What if your son was in the classroom?
Killing the earth.
He'd be transferred.
Like,
oh my
he's
God.
Not. No, he's not. They don't have, you don't got time.
First of all, why my son got to, I mean, why? Okay, first of all I got to say is this, is that have to figure out, like, those, what's it called?
The thing threw a monkey in his wrench, didn't you, Cam?
No. I'm not done. I'm not backing down. All I'm saying is that the weapons, the projectiles of those weapons are not shrapnel. You know what I'm saying? It's little rubber things that don't hurt humans.
Right.
So when I say they're all going to die,
they're
going to
get
hit.
Safe bomb.
I mean, I don't know.
You just said they're all going
to
die.
I would imagine, because the thing is, what I'm going to try to do is make it so it rains. It's going to rain that shit. Like, there's going to be no space. Like I would do the measurements and say, like, how fast can this guy move? How far can he go?
Oh, so like the range
like
of the
in
explosion,
1 second.
You're
yes,
probably going to get taken out. It's Mach 20.
Yeah, but it's like, okay. So
I mean, if he's a president, he probably wouldn't even be in that area.
Brandon would blow up the earth to kill this guy.
No, I would not. No, all I'm saying is that I would do the calculation and say, in 1 second, this is the distance that can be covered at Mach 20. And then I would cover that entire distance in 1 second with the shit that can kill him. So it's just like, there's nothing you can do. So it's like, anything in that area is going to get hit with that shit. You may or may not survive. I don't know. But all I'm saying is that that would be my calculation. I'd say, how much area of space needs to be flattened with this shit to end him? And that's what that would probably be the strategy I would go after. Because at this point, if we are convinced, we're assuming we are convinced that this thing is going to destroy the planet. And we know it has the power to do it because we saw it put a hole in the moon like it was nothing. We saw it dismantle every military on the fucking planet like it was nothing. You know what I'm saying? So at this point, it's like, all right, like, do we want to have a new ruler of this world that promises that it's going to destroy it regardless, and it lives on the stupid whim of teaching these little kids?
Yeah,
it's like, nah, like, I'm gonna, like, at this point, we're in Malcolm X territory by any means necessary. That's where I'm at as a world leader.
I mean, Brennan has shown that he does not care about inner city kids, the lower level kids. Like, he just doesn't care. He would take out the kids that are like not doing as well.
Hold on.
It's absolutely
what about
insane
all the rest of the kids in the rest of the fucking planet, Keenan?
Oh man, that's still,
I'm just saying, if we are convinced that he's going to destroy the planet.
Mach 20 is 94.59 miles per second.
So it would be a 10-mile radius.
Damn.
That gets fucking flattened.
Hey,
with
man.
The shit that kills him. And only him.
No, it has to be 94 miles.
Whatever. Radius. All right. Whatever square miles. It's going to get hit. That's what I'm saying.
At the end of the day, I'll use Brennan's exact strategy, but I won't make it a bomb. I'll just make it rain or something like that. I'll just do
weather
something.
Manipulation.
Weather manipulation. I don't have to kill nobody anyways.
Yeah, but the thing is. But
Rob, what you got, man? I wouldn't have to kill kids, man. That's crazy. You're a kid killer, man.
You also said that with no remorse. You're like, well, they're dying.
It's just like a game. It's like, you got to imagine, like, if...
Acceptable losses.
Well, the thing is, like, you have to have, like, for this type of opponent, you're going to have to take sacrifices. You have to. I'll die too, whatever. But I'm saying, as long as the motherfucker's dead. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so you'll be in that class. You'll be the one in that classroom.
I would be in the class if I believed in the strategy and that would lower his guard that I was there, then yeah, I would be there.
I accept your plan. As long as you're there.
I don't care.
I don't accept it.
You don't accept it?
So I'm just saying, so you're saying one classroom worth of kids is worth the entire planet
it's not
worth
one classroom,
of
it's a 100-mile radius.
Okay. 100 miles radius worth of people is worth the entire planet.
We don't know for sure.
That math don't matter. You know what I'm saying? If you know that's what you can, if you know you can guarantee take 100 miles of people off the map.
I don't feel confident enough in myself to be the one to pull the trigger. That's all I'm saying.
I would be willing to pull the trigger. If I was 100% positive that this would work and save everyone else, I will deal with the consequences.
I'm going to say, because I wouldn't be 100% confident that these balls would kill him.
That
would be my main thing.
If I was convinced of that, that's also a contingent. That's what I said. As part of the plan, I would have to be 100% sure that this is going to work.
Because
we would be testing it.
But
the thing is, you're going to test it at a bunch of other places. You're going to test it over the ocean over here. It's like, oh, wow. It looks like the timing of this does work. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way that anything can escape this radius during this time, regardless if it's in a structure or not. Like, when you know that, it's like, all right, cool. We know where he's going to be. Only time we know where he's going to be is in that classroom. That's the only time they know where he's going to be.
Rob?
I would, at this point, like, okay, this guy's got a penchant for fine foods or something like that. He wants to taste the best in the world of every one thing. I'm going to find the best boba place in the fucking world.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to find the best boba place. I'm going to tell him, hey, I got a deal for you. I don't know, it may not be today, may not be tomorrow, someday, this thing is going to show up at your doorstep. He's going to look fucking weird. He's going to have a wig on. He's going to look like a person. He's not really going to look like a person. You're going to put these BBs in that boba drink.
He's going to drink them.
Drink them. And then he takes that in. Those BBs down. Unsuspecting. I wouldn't even be there. Just leave there like a ghost.
Rob's
going to have a newspaper just like, I got the call? Great.
Boom. Put them in the anti-me BBs into the boba tea or some food dish. Sabotage this dude. Use the cloak and dagger spy networks of the world to make this work. A linchpin plan where just like everything's working like a Swiss watch. Try to get this dude when he doesn't know about it. Just like take it out of the hands of these kids. Try to get him to ingest that stuff.
I mean, they've tricked all of us online with things being cake and not cake.
Fucking weak, bro.
All right.
Because he didn't kill no children? Get the fuck out of here, Brennan.
Not because he didn't kill no children. I don't want to kill children. I'm just saying. The only time they know where he is in the classroom.
I think Rob's plan is the best plan.
I think it's a shitty plan. He's not going to fall for that dumb shit.
Fall for what? He doesn't know.
Why not?
He doesn't know.
The moment it touches his fucking lips,
his face will explode.
If he's eating boba, it's not going to.
That's real.
I know you're trolling face,
Rob. His face will explode.
Rob, shut up.
He's not trolling. I think it's a great...
He couldn't even touch the baseball. That's why I had to go get the glove.
Matter of fact, somebody... Shout out to I think it's Crizzy for Life. He said, can't this be put into a gas form?
Rubberized gas. I don't know what they're made of.
Yeah, put it in gas form. Sounds like a rap to me.
Make him breathe it in.
Over with. Put it in the vents, baby. He's done for.
Yeah, we miniaturize the BBs, get him like in a very tiny aerosol form.
Microscopic type?
And just like fill the classroom.
That's the best suggestion.
Nanobots.
That's the best suggestion I've heard. I like that more than
that. Shout out to Chrissy and myself for reading that. So I'm
there you go.
And myself for reading that.
Shout out to me
for being able to read.
All right. What type of classroom would you feel you would be the dominant professor? Like, would you be a professor? And if you wanted to be a professor for a classroom, what kind of it could be anything. It could be even sports. It could be teaching basketball. It could be teaching droning, as y'all know, with what you do and stuff like that. Rob. You can do film, writing. This is my own question, but I was going back and forth between, low-key, I was going back and forth between either basketball or comedy. I just go comedy. Comedy is what I've been doing. Comedy is, you know, I put my 10,000 hours in.
Yeah.
I will feel confident that I can teach a class to not necessarily be funny, but be their funny, be who they are on stage, give them the time, and help them out with certain type of strategies and, you know, like I said, it's not about being funny to everybody, but, like, they will be able to get laughs on stage. I feel 100% confident, even at the level that I'm at right now, that I will be able to teach a small classroom. I'm not going to say 30 students, like a small classroom.
That's a lot of kids.
Yeah, small classroom.
Well, if there's 30 kids, Kenny can at least get one of them to make some
money. Well, I feel like I'll get one and be like, yo, I want to take this shit serious. Like, I'm already funny online, so I can do this too. Like, let's fucking do it. And just teach them probably not just comedy in a sense of like stand up, but like comedy overall. Like it could be videos, it could be stuff like that, all that type of stuff. So that would be a classroom that I would feel confident in teaching and being a really good teacher in. Brennan,
I love teaching. Absolutely love it. Like for me, one of my goals in life is to retire into being a professor. And so I've thought about this a lot. For me, I think probably the thing that I'd be strongest to teach would either be, it'd be some form of entrepreneurship, whether that's based in leadership, whether that's based in industry knowledge, whatever level that is, company building, you know, that kind of stuff. Like I've always been a student of leadership, always been a student of entrepreneurship. I was one class away from it being my minor. I just didn't want to come back for a whole another semester for one class.
Yeah.
So that would be the low hanging fruit for me. But obviously, I could teach a drone class. I could teach. Honestly, I'd be happy teaching almost anything that I know. Anything that I enjoy.
What grade level?
It'll be college.
College.
That's why I said professor. Like,
I'll be a professor. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I'll be a professor. Like, if not college, it'd be like late high school. But I don't think I would want to mess with high school. I want the kids that are choosing. I want to go to a university that like is accredited, like a good university where the students are choosing to be there. Mm. You know, where it's like you're a community college, they don't care. You know, you're in high school. All most credit. Of them don't care.
That's not true, but
yeah.
Well, I mean, I work with some community colleges already, and I will say that in general, it is very true. Actually, it's just because they're doing it because their parents are like, you got to go somewhere, you got
to
do something.
And then there's some kids that have to go because it's the only place they could pay
and
for.
It's free. You know what I'm saying? Because some community colleges are free. So I'm not saying community colleges suck.
That's big colleges also. If their parents are like, look, you're gonna get in here.
There are plenty of big kids at Syracuse University that did not care to be there, and they're paying lots of money.
No, I get that, but I'd say I'm looking at the percentage wise, like the proportions. It's like, you know, in like say Syracuse, it'd be like half and half, but like in a community college, it might be like
75-25,
something like that, or worse.
It might be actually better because a lot of those students are going there to actually get their
associates to transfer.
Trying to transfer.
I work with a college professor that teaches like production and shit, and that's her whole dilemma. She works for community colleges. And she's just like, most of the students don't give a shit. The vast majority of them. And
unfortunately,
know her.
Production has a way of giving that veil of being easy and like, oh, this should be really easy to do. Communications always has that, like, this is a BS degree.
Very. My brother,
and a lot of students take it because they think that's what it is. I was in the same position. And I knew
my brother
students.
Called it, what do you call it, a production degree, a communication degree, like drawing? He makes fun of it because he's an engineer. Rob, what you got? What would you teach?
I'd want to teach like a class on just like fictional lore and like world building. I think that'd be really cool. That's this kind of stuff I get into with stories, like whether it's just like Star Wars or Lord of the Rings, like we mentioned earlier, or even just like, you know, Avatar or whatever. Like even the stuff that we've covered on this show. Like one of the things that brings me into a show or a world more than anything else is like a deep lore and stuff. I just love learning about that stuff. Like Dune, I just like, tell me all about the history of just like all the crazy stuff that's happened. Just like, because it's always fascinating to me that people will like create these huge systems and like these world histories and yada yada that can, out of nothing. That I love talking about it. I love learning about it. I love hearing people like give their interpretations and like how it relates to like real world stuff and the inspirations behind it. I find that stuff endlessly fascinating. And like, of course, there's a few that I know a thing or two about. But that's one of those things that like I could watch YouTube videos on that stuff for like hours. And I would love to talk about that. That'd be a lot of fun.
I would take your class, Rob.
Thank you. Thank you, Cam. Appreciate it.
Are we gonna listen? I guess we gotta storm through these because we're running this time up. All right. Is the premise of this show believable? Brennan.
No. The premise of the show isn't believable. An all-powerful alien earthling thing coming down to teach a classroom of students. Like again, I said before, there has to be some kind of ulterior motive that normally involves some kind of strong emotion, which normally involves some form of partnership or love. So it doesn't seem believable at all and by any stretch of the imagination. A being moving at Mach 10,
20.
Mach 20,
respect him. Put some respect on his name, bro.
Is physically impossible in so many ways. You know, I mean, like, we just had a ramjet go Mach 10 in 2015. It was just like, we couldn't believe it, like the scramjet shit. So, nah, it's not believable to me. The powers are really unbelievable. The motivations are really unbelievable. The world is really unbelievable that world leaders would even let this happen the way that it's happening. It's like, there isn't actually anything about this that's believable. It's just like, I like the teacher character, and that's cool that he exists. That's where I'm at with it.
Interesting, Rob.
Hell no. No. As soon as he blew up the moon, the world would be over. Like, it would be a catastrophic event. Like, yep. None of this would happen.
Yep.
He would blow up 70% of the moon, and then life would cease to exist on Earth. Like, crazy stuff would happen. And especially him traveling Mach 20, like, anywhere, like, the destructive force of that.
What are those called? Shock waves after, like,
oh my
stopping?
God.
That would wipe out areas.
Yeah.
And he has to be, like, in the upper atmosphere to even consider doing that without killing everybody.
Yeah. Mm. No, there had, like, watching this, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, all right, like, I got to turn some parts of my brain off just to, like, even like, accept what's happening here. Because, yeah, and again, like, why would this creature care to do this? Like, I'm sure they'll explain it at some point, but so far I'm just like, yeah, I don't know why this would happen.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I already said it too. I was like, I don't even believe his motivation. I don't believe he's going to blow up the earth, none of that stuff. So I'm just kind of, I guess I'm kind of just waiting to see. Hopefully around episode 12 to 16, it'll happen. We'll get some type of clarification of why he's really doing this shit. Last question. Do you have any early picks for who's going to kill Koro or get the get the closest, Rob?
I got a dark horse pick just because I felt like putting a spicy take out there. I'm going to go with Kayano, the girl that's actually like Nagisa's friend, if only because they've really underplayed like her abilities and what she's there to do. And I'm sure they'll touch on at some point, but I feel like they've gone out of their way to make you not look at her and to not consider her. I think they're trying to be like, look, Nagisa's got like he's got the strategy. Karma's got like the abilities. You know, there's these other students that are trying their bullshit and she's just like hanging out. And so if it were me, if I were picking somebody, I'd be like, maybe keep my eye on her, if only because like they've hit the ball on that one a little bit. I think it could, if they're trying to go for a shock factor, I could see them picking her.
Okay. I think it's going to be a team effort for sure. I don't think it's going to be a one kill by one student. I think this is probably literally an exercise to help them work together mm-hmm. and see if they can work together. So if I guess I would choose, I guess, three. It would be Karma. It'll be with Nagisa, the blue hair, that the main character essentially, which is boring as fuck. And then the homegirl. I think it'll be those three working together and getting it done. But other than that, I don't. At least as of right now, where it's so early on, I don't even know. I guess we're gonna probably see some other major players coming in soon.
Yeah,
Brennan.
I don't think he's gonna get killed. So that's my
fair.
Answer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he will either.
I don't think he is either. That's fair. All right, that's the questions. Let's get into our likes, dislikes, our scores. I guess technically Brennan picked this so he can go last. Rob, you want to go first?
Okay. Yeah. I will say I thought the comedy for the show was pretty successful.
You sub or dub it?
I started out dub, actually.
Okay.
But then I switched pretty quickly over to the sub. I thought the comedy was I was like there's some pretty funny stuff in here from time to time. I don't know. I texted Brennan about the show at one point, like the whole thing about like out in the shed, I'm just like, this octopus teacher just raped that woman? Like, he's just like,
oh, yeah.
He was like, I did some adult things to her that was like, she clearly didn't want. And like, obviously, I know we're not supposed to like this person, but when you think about that, that's pretty fucked up.
Well, in the dub version, it made it seem like she was just kind of like, ooh, he kind of like, he did what he did. It made it seem like it was like not necessarily she hated it. It was kind of like she was just like, whoo, he did something that kind of made me weak.
Yeah, it was just,
so it was a little.
It was weird to me.
Yeah.
That was the one scene of all the things, like as soon as they had a sexy teacher episode, I was like, I'm a little worried. And then that happened, I'm like, this is why.
Yeah.
That being said, that apart from that, I thought the show was fine. I felt like not a lot happens in these episodes. Like, by the end of the episode, I'm kind of like, okay, well, all right, sure. They felt like they go by very quickly, which is good if you're just, like, trying to binge something. But it doesn't really feel like, especially, like, the baseball episode. It's just like, he examines the kid, and then the dude becomes a gym teacher. The end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that being said, him trying to, like, work with the kids and work through their trauma, work through their pain to, like, give them the attention that they didn't get from anywhere else is a somewhat interesting premise. I think there could be a point where maybe the action turns up a little bit as they're getting better and better with their assassin skills. The show's okay for me, to be honest. I'm not loving it right now. It's okay. I would give it a 5,000.
Okay. Echo some of the things that Rob said. Comedy-wise, it was fun to me. I watched it all dub, of course. And I was watching. It was. It had funny moments. I do not like this main character, not the teacher.
Did you say dubbed or subbed?
Dubbed.
Oh, okay.
I guess the main protagonist in this.
I thought it was a girl at first too.
I thought it was a girl too.
I had to rewind. I was like, oh shit.
When they said a boy, I was like, oh shit. I was like, because the hairstyle.
The hairstyle was what did it too.
Yeah, it messed me up. But I was like, all right, cool. But I was just like, yo,
King Hall agreed to score.
This main character is a fucking. I'm just like, I don't even remember when they're on screen. I'm just like, yo, I don't even remember them being on screen like that.
Yeah,
it's like they're not doing anything like that's relevant to me that I even care about. Karma right now is my dude in a sense.
Karma's pretty cool.
I like him. The teacher's great. I love the teacher. He's funny. He's getting it in. He's fucking around with them. But I'm with you. I feel like this show is not what it really is. I feel like they're not going to have to kill this teacher. So I feel like there's going to be zero stakes in this motherfucker.
Mm.
I feel like there's going to be zero stakes on this show for the whole 20-something episodes. We're going to find out at the end. He was like, hey, I was just joking with you guys or some bullshit like that. It's going to be like, all right, this is what it was? This shit is. So I'm kind of with Rob in that sense. To not give the same score, 5,100.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. Brandon?
I can't disagree with anything you guys said. I like the teacher. Other than that, I don't really like anybody else. But the gym teacher dude's okay.
He's okay.
Yeah, I like the gym teacher dude.
I like when he set that woman straight. He's just like, you know, hey, like,
chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. The students are pretty annoying to me. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I fell off on this show, and I fell off for a reason. It's the exact reason that Rob said is that the show is very meh to me. And so, you know, I'm only a few episodes ahead. I think we're going to catch up to where I am the next time we do this.
Okay.
And so for these first four, what I liked, like I said, I liked the teacher dude. I like him. I disliked a lot, like I just said. I'm going to go with a 4,800 because, again, it's like the rewatch value, my interest in like continuing the world building, the making sense of this show doesn't really hit yet for me.
Yeah.
But what I will say that the only interest that I really have is figuring out what's the origin story of the teacher.
Agreed.
That's pretty much the only thing I care about on this show. And so I do care about it, though. Like, I will say that I do care. Like, I want to actually know because I'm like, this actually could save the show if there's a really dope backstory that actually makes everything make sense. I don't know what the fuck that could be.
Yeah.
But if they are able to pull everything together with that, you know, then I'm like, all right, maybe you'll get up to a 6,000, 7,000 at the most.
I'll say this, man. By episode 12, if they didn't say it, I might go and try to spoil it for myself.
Well, I'm saying by episode 12, we can do the vote. Just say, hey, do we keep watching?
I guess, yeah, right?
I'm not ready to vote on that yet, but I'm just saying we can vote. Any week we do it, we can just vote to stop, can't we?
Yeah, I mean, we can. I mean, personally, I would vote to keep going just to be like, all right, that was 4.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah, no. I'm saying like after like 12.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or something like that. We can be like, all right, not enjoying it. We'll see.
Right.
Like, we'll see
what's up.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So those are our scores. So far, we're all, you know what's funny? I think I should be like, you know what? I gotta like this.
No, for sure. My, I used to be like, this is my 8,000 show. You guys don't see the power of this. Do you understand Mach 20?
Yeah.
Do you guys understand what Mach 20
and
is?
He gave this an 8,000, bro.
It'd be funny because...
Fuck.
I think, it, you know, for me, it's just funny because he's like, I respect speed. I was fast in college. He's fast. So, 8,000.
If that was his reasoning for 8,000, dog, that is ridiculous.
Ice McGowan, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, man. So that is.
I like how you just made up a hypothetical situation. You're just like, fucking ice, man.
Yeah. A whole shit. Can't even defend himself.
Yep. I put a message in the group chat to see if he had it. If we get a score before we wrap, I'll say if he watched it or when he scored it.
Rob, who you got this week, man?
Who do I got this week? Let me tell you. I got this profile that I took a screenshot of earlier today. It is Luzon Illustrations, which is Louzan Illustrations on Instagram. They got a pretty dope style. They do a lot of anime stuff, a lot of like really cool Pokemon art, but also just like stuff from all kinds of stuff. Dragon Ball, they had all kinds of stuff. So check them out on Instagram. They even sell their own merch. So if you like some of their illustrations, they could probably sell you like a shirt or a hoodie. So give them a check.
Ice.McGowan on everything. Ice.McGowan.
Ice didn't watch it.
Yeah. Ice.McGowan.ho. At the end of that, make sure you put .ho. Brennan, what you got?
Brennan produces on Instagram. I'd be out there.
All right. Stickman Studios for Killer Cam over there with the cam. No C on that. Keenan Baker on every single thing, man. Thank y'all. I think actually one or two people actually came out from the Animation Podcast or said they were fans from the podcast that came to Sacramento. So I appreciate that for coming through. It was hella fun. I can't wait to headline more, man. Now I'm more excited to just get out there and start headlining.
Nice, man.
You know, going on tour soon. So hopefully I can make that happen, man. You guys are part of that. You type of fans being like, request me at your clubs can help that out. So Keenan Baker on everything. Follow me on all my social media platforms, Keenan Baker. Next week we'll be covering episodes 5-8. Ass, a nation classroom.
I will say I was real nervous typing this title into a Crunchyroll. I was like, ooh, we'll see what comes up on the suggestions.
Episodes 5-8. Yeah, man, that's all we got. We'll see you guys next week, and we thank you for tuning in to another episode of Animation. We out.
And so anime was solved forever.